Today's Shi'ez Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. The Gemara said that they made a gzeirah al davar ach mishum davar achar, on one thing because of another thing. But the Gemara did not really explain what is meant when it says davar achar mishum davar achar. Says the Gemara, Amar of Nachba Yitzchak Gozer al tinik of the Kachavim. They made a gzeira that a child, a non-Jewish child, sheyitma v'ziva, should be considered a tamezov, even though he had really not yet had such an emission of ziva. So, damar of gidl, gadol hayali etzel, tzar gadol hayi etzel ravasi. I had to really think about this question when I learned by Ravasi. Rav Asi had this question to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan had this question to Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai ate to Rabbi Nosson ben Amram. Rabbi Nosson ben Amram ate to Rabbi. Tinek Eve Kechavim, a non-Jewish child. At what point, Metame Beziva, at what point does that child become Tame with a Tumas Ziva? Vamali, and he responded to me, Ben Yoima, from when the child is One day old. Shabasi ate Rav Chia. When I brought this question to Rav Chia, Amali, he said to me, Ben Teisha Shonav Yom Echad, that the age is from 9 years old. Shabasi v'retzesi dvarai lefnei Rebbe. And when I went and I said this over to Rebbe, Amali, he said, Hanach dvarai. Don't follow what I said. I just said that the age is from one day old. He said, Don't follow that halacha. V'choy is divrei Rav Chia. Follow rather what Rav Chia taught us. Dam atinik ayv dechavim, that he said atinik ayv dechavim me'emasai mitame beziva. At what age does he become tamei tamaziva? And he said ben teisha shanav yom echad, from when he's 9 years old. Why? What is the significance of 9 years old? So he said hoyel v'roy labia. Once he's old enough to be able to have relations, not tamanam beziva. That's the point that Chazal said that he should be tamanam beziva. Why? Because Chazal wanted to separate our children from those children who maybe act in an improper fashion. So from when they're able to have relations, that's the point where we have to be concerned what will be if there's an association with them. And that's why they said that they're all Tumei Tumaziva. Tumaziva was a Tuma that is a very serious Tuma. Not only is it a serious Tuma, it's a Tuma that the people would try to avoid. And because it was a Tuma that everybody was anxious to avoid, that's how they could create the distance that they wanted to create. Amar Ravina, it says, Ravina, Hilkach, now that we've said that a non-Jewish boy, at what point does he become Tamei from the Tamaziva, from when he's able to have relations? The same thing with a Tanoikos of the Chavim Bashal Shalom Yom Echad, a non-Jewish girl at the age of 3, Hoyel Veruya Labia, and that's the age where she's able to have relations. Since that's the age she's able to have relations, metame namba beziva. She's tame beziva. Ask the Gemara Pshita. Now that we've identified, ask the Gemara, that it's dependent on when they can have relations, so ask the Gemara, obviously, that will be the defining factor by a girl as well. We're going to say from when the girl is able to have relations, at that point, she's metame tamaziva. What is being taught that we can't understand? Answers the Gemara. Madatema, we would say that a boy, when he's 9 years old, which is, as we're learning, the point when he can have relations, Hayodalagula, he knows how to convince another child to have relations. That's why we have to be most concerned, and we have to make a gzera that they're tamei to establish the proper social distancing. But when you have a girl who, even though she's 3 years old, but she's not able, she's not yet thinking about these types of matters. So just because she's able to have relations, she's still lo yoda l'argule. She doesn't know how to create an environment, this type of an environment. And therefore, just because she's 3 years old and she could have relations, she should not be metame b'ziva. Kamash malon, that once Chazal made a gzera, that it's dependent on when they could have relations, it doesn't make a difference about if where they are developed to. Says the Gemara, "Mstam fazal Rabbi Yehuda nesia kasvei to Rav Shmuel Shammai." Rabbi Yehuda nesia would lean on Rav Shmuel Shammai as he walked. Amalei Shmuel, and Rabbi Yehuda said to Rav Shmuel, "Lo yisa emes bebeis medrash. You were not in yeshiva yesterday. Shatarnu as a shemen. When we decided that even though we've been learning in our shurim, we learned in the Mishnah that Chazal said that the shemen was usur, and then we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis that Rebbe hitter as a shemen. There is a discussion when the Gemara says that Rebbe hitter as a shemen, which Rebbe is meant. Many suggest it's not Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the one who compiled the Mishnayos, rather it's Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. There are others that say it was Rabbeinu HaKadosh. We know both of them had the name Rabbi Yehuda. The question is, which one was it? And now says the Gemara, Lo Yisa Emesh B'Beis Merik Shetanu as a Shemin. You weren't there when this was announced. Amalei Yisra'im Smol said Rabbi Yehuda, the Mimenu Tater is a pass. He says, now that you identified, and we spoke about this in our previous year, that Shemen, that the Gzera on Shemen was lifted, and the reason it was lifted was because it was a Gzera, She'en V'roi V'tziva Yechol Lamed Ba, it was a Gzera that was impossible for people to fulfill. So even though, as we discussed in our previous year, it was a Gzera that was adapted by Shammai and Hillel amongst the Yud Ches Dover, still, given the circumstances, they felt the need to lift that gzeira. Here, he said, we ought to lift the gzeira on Pas Akum, because it too is a gzeira she'en roi v'tziva yechaylem namibay. Another pshat that I saw is, not that he meant to say that hopefully, just like they lifted that gzeira, they should lift this gzeira. But what it meant to say was that this already happened. That just like that gzeira we find was lifted, here too this gzeira was lifted. So it says, Imkain. So Amaloi, so Yehuda said to Rav Shmuel, if that's what we're going to end up doing, again, that we're going to lift this gzeira again, Imkain, Karle Beinin and Sharia. We're going to get a label that we are the Beis Din that is always lenient. So I saw that the Mefarshim asked that often in Shas we have the concept of Koyach Da Tera Odif, that the one that's able to establish that something is mutter is preferable. And all of a sudden, in our Gemara, we're discovering that somebody who's going to have that ability is looked upon negatively. So how do we understand this? So one pshat that I saw, what does Koyach Da Tera Odif mean? Koyach Da Tera Odif, as Rashi says in Masech Debeya, what it does is it represents an ability to really come up, to really learn. Because a person that doesn't know what to do, the natural fallback position is to say that it's usur. But somebody who says it's mutter means that he really analyzed and thought through the issue, and was able to come up with a heter. So it's not that it's always better. It's not that it's always better to come up with a heter than come up with an iser. That isn't necessarily the way to understand Koyach Da Tera. Rather, the right way to understand Koyach Da Tera is that the one who could come, the one who is able to do a Koyach Da Tera shows that he has a certain higher level in learning, but not that that's something what should be done. Says the Gemara, the Tanan, we find, hey, Rabbi Yehuda, hey, Rabbi Yossi ben Yezir is Tzreda, Alayel Kamsum, it's a type of grasshopper, which we will be discussing in Mitzvah Shem soon, Dochen, that it's Tohor and may be eaten, Valmashka Beis Medchaya, on the blood, the liquid that's found in the Beis HaMikdash, in the place where they slaughtered the animals, that liquid is not Tomei, Vadiyikrav L'masa Melsov, and that somebody who comes in contact with a mace is Tomei, V'karvalei, and because he came up with these three Heterim, he got labeled Yosef Sharia. Of course, the Gemara is going to ask that somebody who says that the halacha, the last halacha of the yikra of lemeisa masav, that somebody who comes in contact with a nifter is tamei. There's two issues. One is that that's actually a din daraisa. We know that somebody who comes in contact with a mace is tamei, is a din daraisa. And secondly, that actually represents a chumrah. So why is the Gemara saying that the person who paskin that way represents a matter? But we'll learn that all in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Amalei, so Rebbe was concerned that he should not get that title. In our Gemara, it seems that Rebbe was doing or paskining in a way to avoid that label. The Yushalmi seems to learn that he already got that label. So Amalei, but said Reb Shmuley to Rebbe, Hasam Shara Talas. The reason Rabbi Yosef got that label is because he was lenient in three halachas. However, Umashar Chada, you're only lenient in one shayla. Vishar Mar Chada Chrita, and even if you'll now not just be lenient about oil, but you'll be lenient about bread as well, Akate Tatu Davin, it will only represent two leniencies, and for two leniencies, you don't get that title. Amlei, Anoshra Achrita. So Rebbe said to Reb Shmuley, I already had been lenient in another question as well. Mahi, what is that issue? The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Gittin says that if somebody gives a get that Ayvavim Beis, and somebody gives a get to his wife, and he says, Zagitechem Leibosim Kan Vachnei Masachodesh, this is going to be a valid get if I don't show up within 12 months. That means, if 12 months pass and I haven't come, then the get should be valid. But what happened, and the reason the Gemara, as we often explain when we learned those sugyas, somebody would want to make this type of stipulation, because this person unfortunately doesn't have any children, and he doesn't want that his wife should have to fall to Yibam Chalitza. So he says, if I don't show up in 12 months, the get should be valid. But what happened here was, he died before the 12 months are up. The halacha is in a get. Because when the get was supposed to be valid after 12 months, he's no longer alive. And a person who's not alive obviously cannot give a get. But the Braisa teaches us, Rabbi Sayyidina, that the get is considered a valid get, and there's no issue that she has to wait for Yibam Chalitza. And in trying to understand that Gemara, we said, Man Rabbi Nisenu, who are the Rabbi Nisenu that said that the get is considered a valid get? Am Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, Beidina de Shara Mashcha. The Bezdin that said that the oil, the Bezdin of Rebbe that said the oil of Nakum is Mutter. The Savile, because they are of the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Dom is Manish Lashtar Mechichalach. The Rabbi Yossi teaches us, in Mesecht Baba Basra, the Mishnah speaks there about the halacha daf kuf lamed vav amen aleph. With somebody kosev kol nechosel b'noy lachamaisai. If somebody wrote all of the assets that he owns over to his son while he's still alive, he writes mehayoyim lachamisa, which means that from today the actual assets belong to you, but the payris of those assets will only be yours after the father passes away. That the halacha is that if he wrote Mahayoim Lachamisa, the halach is as we just explained, but if he would have just written Lachamisa, then the declaration is invalid, because he only wants it to kick in after he passes away. And after he passes away, a person who is not alive anymore doesn't have the ability to make gifts. But if he wrote mihayoyim lachamisa, so then he wants it to be effective from today. Today, he's still Baruch Hashem alive. Rabbi Yossi, however, over there says that you don't have to write mihayoyim lachamisa. Even if he just wrote lachamisa, it's understood what was meant was mihayoyim lachamisa. Why is it understood that way? So Rabbi Yossi over there explains, because manoy shel shtar mechichalov, the fact that there's a date in the shtar, so that is a proof that the person meant to give over ownership of the actual asset from today, and the payrus should only be after his death. Because if that wasn't his intention, why would he have to write a date in the shtar? So here too, when somebody gave the get to the wife, and he said that if I don't come back after 12 months, the get should kick in, because he wrote a date on the get, that is an indication that he meant that it should be retroactively valid from today, the day that he wrote the get, and today he's Baruch Hashem alive. Says the Gemara, V'amar of Abba Breid Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Reb Yehuda Anasi Haira, the Reb Yehuda Anasi Paskin, that indeed this woman could rely on this get, but the Chachamim of his time did not agree with him. Vamrilai, what it meant to say is Kol Siyatoi. Kol Siyatoi means that all the people that learned in his yeshiva, that's one pshat that the Oruch suggests, Ritva suggests, Kol Siyatoi. Kol Siyatoi means all of his friends. Of course, the Mefarshim ask an obvious question. When you write a date, when you write a shtar, you don't have to write a date. So, as Rabbi Yossi said, the writing of the date is an indication that that's what he meant. But a get has to have a date. A get without a date is puzzle. So why are we bringing a proof from the fact that he wrote a date in the get? The get has a date anyway. The Marsha asked this question, and the Marsha answers that to fulfill the obligation of a date in a get, it would be just enough to write the month or the year in which the get was written. Here the person then just write the month and the year. He actually wrote an exact date. That's a proof that he means that it should be effective from today. Amalei lahu saba. So Amalei Rebbe lahu saba. Rebbe said to that elderly person, he asked the question. Nana was saying that the get that was written, mehayoyim lachamisa, or according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, even without the word hayoyim, the get is effective. Kishiritu, when we say that this woman can get married, how do we understand that halacha? Do we say, la'alta shrisua, she could get married immediately, deloy asi, because what's the reason that we would say she shouldn't get married because we don't know if the husband's showing up? This husband is certainly not showing up because he passed away. Oidilma, his tanai was that the get is only valid after 12 months. Only after 12 months is when the tanai kicks in. And before that, the get is not valid. So of course, the Rishonim asked the question, why would we want her to have to wait until 12 months? We know that her husband is not alive. He's not showing up. So why would we take such a position? So the Rishonim give many different explanations. Because Tosfos explains that Chazal were concerned that if we're going to be lenient in this case, where there's no question that the husband obviously is not coming, and therefore we should allow her to get married, there'll be cases where the husband indeed did not die, and there, if we want the get to be valid, we have to wait till after 12 months. So because Chazal made a gzera that we should never, and maybe Chazal said she should never get married. The Ran explains that the husband did not want her to get remarried. But the husband, by making this declaration, was saying is, I don't want her to get remarried until after 12 months. And that's he suggests, is a declaration that a husband has a right to make. And since the husband has a right to make that type of declaration, says the Ran. That's why even if he died earlier, we still have to follow that declaration. Another pshat that I saw in the Rishonim, which is a very, very big chiddush, that we maybe have to be concerned that the husband's going to have tchiyas hameisim, that the husband's going to come back. And if he's going to be alive, then of course the get is invalid until after 12 months. And because of that, we say a rule that she has to wait for 12 months. Ask this person, but Tabay Lachal, Ms. Neeson, you could have asked this question on the Mishnah itself. The Tanan, the Mishnah, they over teaches us, if somebody says, I raise a gittach me achshav, he says explicitly the get should be valid from today if I don't show up by 12 months. Because here, there's no room for question. Because the person explicitly said that if me achshav, says the Gemara, so in that case, we should. So there, everybody agrees that it's a valid get. But ask the Gemara again, we should have asked the question. But Tibaylach, why don't we ask, La'al Tavagetta, is the get going to be valid immediately, Da'alai Asa? Adama, or here too, would the halacha require that she should wait, La'ach Shtem Esachodesh, the Kayim Le'tanai? Answers the Gemara, and the Chanami. The question could have been asked on that in that case as well. Ella, why was the question asked on the other case? Because I was with the people that followed the opinion of Rabbi Huda that says that even though it doesn't say me'achshav, the get, or even though it doesn't say the word me'ayoyim, the get is a good get. And I wanted to know that which represents, as we've been learning in our shir, a real kula. It represents a real leniency. And I wanted to know how far we could go with that leniency. Amr Abaye says Abaye Hakol Moedim. Everybody agrees. Whether both the Tanakama, the Chachamim, who say that if he didn't write me hayoy me akshav, or Rabbi Yehuda, who holds like Rabbi Yehuda that even if he didn't write me so according to the Chachamim, if he didn't write me akshav, and he dies before the 12 months is up, the get is not get. Or Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and Rabbi Yossi hold that we say Zmanish Lashtam Mechir Chalav and the get is a good get. If somebody made the following stipulation, if somebody gave a get to his wife at night and he said to her, L'cheshetetzi chamim minatika, when the sun comes out, you will be divorced. He said, so he clearly indicated, L'chi nafka kamala, he clearly indicated that the get is only valid when the sun comes out. And therefore, the chimayis belayla, if he dies during the night before the sun comes out, then the get is not a valid get. Get lachemisu. And even according to Rabbi Yossi, who's saying that now shir the zmanish shtiar mechichalav, even Rabbi Yossi will agree that the only time we rely on zmanish shtiar mechichalav is when we don't know what he meant, we're not exactly clear how to define his statement. So in such a case, Rabbi Yossi has been teaching us that even though the words seem to say that the get should only be valid after 12 months, we say, Zmanish Hashtar Mechichalov, that he meant that the get should be valid from earlier. But clearly, in a case such as ours, where the person very, very explicitly said that I only want the get to be valid when the sun comes out, he was very clear in his intention. He was very clear that he meant to say that the get should only be in the morning, and therefore if he dies before the morning, the get is not a good get. However, if he said the stipulation differently, he said, he said that I'm making the get dependent that if the sun will come out, that the halach is kimais belayla, if he dies at night before the sun comes out, that he meant that the get should be valid at the time he gave the get. He stipulated on the condition that the sun has to come out. And that, everybody will agree, is a valid get. Kervhuna, because Rav Huna says the kol amar Rav Huna kol amar manas. If somebody says if something will happen, the get will be valid. What he meant to say is that if that will be fulfilled, machshav dami, the get will be valid from now, not from when that stipulation is fulfilled. Loi nechleku. So says the Gemara. Where is the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and the Rabbanan? Loi nechleku. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and Rabbi Yossi versus the Rabbanan. Loi nechleku. Ella only in a case where he says hareiz getzich im teitzei cham minatika. If the sun will come out, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi savlok Rabbi Yossi mizmanish shtar mechiyachalav. This statement could be viewed in one of two ways. It could be viewed that he means that the get should be valid from now when that happens, or it could be viewed that it only should be valid when that stipulation happens. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Savak Rabbi Yosef Dom Mizmanish Shtar Mechir Chalav, that the fact that there was a shtar, there's a date put in, which is the date when the get was written, Savalei, it's like the case that we spoke about where somebody said Me'ayoy Mimati, or somebody said Me'achshav Mimati, where the Mishnah in Masechta Gittin Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph teaches us that everybody will agree that that get is a get from today. Rabbanon, leslu Rabbi Yossi, but the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Yossi because they hold the Havalei Kezeh Gittich Mimati, that this, he's saying that this get is a get if I will die, and he didn't use the word mehayoyim, or he didn't use the word me'achshav. So there, since they do not subscribe to the concept of zmanish hashtar mechichalov, since they don't subscribe to that concept, they're going to hold that the get is only going to be valid after he dies, and we know that ain get lachemisa, get cannot be valid after the person is no longer here. Gufa, we learned earlier in the shir, that Hayyad Yosef ben Ye'ezer Yisreida al Ayel Kamsa Dachon Val Mashkebeis Mechai Dachon Val Diyakov Lemisa Masov V'Korav LaYosef Sharia. Asking about my Ayel Kamsa, what is the subject of the Ayel Kamsa that we have Yosef ben Ye'ezer teaching us that it's kosher? Says the Gemara Papa Ma, the Ayel Kamsa is a type of grasshopper which is a shushiva. A shushiva has a long head. It's a suzbil. It's a type, a grasshopper that does not have a long neck, long head. However, its wings do not cover most of its body, and in a noticeable way. They do, but it's not noticeable. Because the Torah speaks about kosher grasshoppers. The Torah says, as el mehem techelu, as ha arba laminoi, as a solom lamineu, as a chag lamineu, as a chogav lamineu. What are the simonim of a kosher grasshoppers? Of a kosher grasshopper, they have to have four legs, four wings, two jumping legs, and the wings have to cover most of the body. Two of those simonim are mentioned explicitly in the Torah, the fact that they have to have the legs and the jumping legs that are used for him to jump around. As the Torah says, Ach azeh toichlu mikol sheret ha'oif ha'holach al arba asho gai mimal raglov l'nas men al oritz. The two other simonim, that they have four wings and that those four wings cover most of the body, that we only learn from the different grasshoppers that the Torah identifies as kosher, arba solem chargal, that all of those grasshoppers have the wings that cover the most of the body. A grasshopper that has a long head, there's a machlokes, what is its status? The Tana de Beirav holds that the pasuk speaks about the kosher grasshoppers should be learned with a klal prat, and therefore the only thing when we have a pasuk of a klal prat, ein beklal elamad beprat, and what that means is that only something which is exactly similar to what the Torah speaks about is kosher. And therefore, a chagav, which has a long head, is not similar to the kosher grasshoppers and may not be eaten. The Tana Bar Yishmael holds that the pasuk should be learned as a klal uprat the klal, and therefore, even though it's only somewhat similar, it's enough. And according to this, a grasshopper with a long head would be kosher. Rapapa says that the machlokes, as we just said, is shushiva. According to this, the way we just explained, v'kamifkli, we're arguing with the machlokes that we just identified, the machlokes of the Tana de Beirav and the machlokes of the Tana Beirav Shmuel. V'kamifkli, the Rosh Aruch, why would be an halacha with a grasshopper that has a long head? Mar sovar, mar hold, the Rabbanan hold that Rosh Aruch is asur, like the opinion of the Tana de Beirav, or Masov and Yosef Ben Yez's opinion is the Rosh Aruch Mutter. Says the Gemara, Chir Bar Ami Mishmei de Ula Amar, Suzbel, that the Ayel Kamsa is the Suzbel. Says the Gemara, Be Rosh Aruch, a grasshopper with a long neck, Kulei Amalai Pligidosar, everybody will agree, it doesn't have the proper common denominator with the kosher grasshoppers in the Torah, and therefore is not kosher. V'hocha, here the question by the Suzbil is B'knof v'choyfenes rubai de kvach mufgi. We said that the wings have to cover the most of the body. But what does it mean when the Torah says it has to cover most of the body? Marsov, or Yosef Ben Yov's opinion is, Rubai called the hubinin. As long as it covers most of the body, that is going to be significant. Masover, Ruba de Minka Binan. We have to have that it's noticeably covered. So Chaim Kanievsky, in a Sefer Karni Chagovim, asks a question. The halacha of Roiv, the concept of Roiv, is a concept that is often found in the Torah. But when the Torah speaks about Roiv, the Torah doesn't require a Ruba de Minka. So why over here that would we need a Ruba de Nicker? So he says, one pshat that he says two pshat. The one is that it's only a din derabbanan. There's a din derabbanan that we're not going to be satisfied with just the roiv. We have to have a ruva de minker. That's one pshat that Reb Chaim Zatzal suggests. The other pshat that Reb Chaim Zatzal suggests is that there is a concept, midaraisa, of ruva de minker. He says, where do we find the concept of Ruba de Minka by the Raisa? He says that the halacha is that in order for a shechita of an animal or a bird to be considered a valid shechita, you have to have, by animal, the two simanim were caught by a bird. One, and the halacha is it has to be roiv, and the halacha there is, it's not just a roiv, it has to be a Ruba de Minka. So says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, we see that there is in the Torah a concept of Ruba de Minka. The next halacha that he said was that a mashke, that Yosef Ben Yezer said a kula, was that a mashke bei mevatka and tochen, that the liquid, the blood that's found in the base of shechita, in the place where they do shechita in the base of Mikdash, is tohar. Ask the Gemara, my dochen, Rav Omer, dochen mamish, that they're completely tohar, v'shlamul am dochen means matama acherim, that they don't have the ability to transmit tama, but avotumetz atzma yesh behem, they themselves are tame. Rav Amar, the Gemara elaborates. Rav Amar, docha mamish, ksav tumas mashkin is the rabbonim. He holds that the whole halacha that mashkin give off tuma is only with the rabbonim. V'chi goz rabbonim tuma b'mashkin d'alma. Where did Chazal make such a rule? By regular mashkin. Ava b'mashka b'emet baya. When it comes to the liquid that's found in the b'emet baya, where they shechted, loy goz rabbonim to make a gzera. Because Chazal did not want to have more tumah in the Beis Hamikdash. Shmuama dochma tamah cherim. Have a Thomas asvam yeshbehem. They themselves are tameh because he holds kasav of Thomas Mashkin the Raisa. The locha of Thomas Mashkin is the Raisa. The tum the gzera the tumah of latamah cherim is the rabbanon. So viki goes rabbanon. Where did rabbanon say the mashka could transmit tumah? That's only b'mashkin the alma. B'mashkin be'emet chaya loy gazru. The next thing he said was al yikra l'masa mesov, that anybody comes in contact with a mace is tamei v'karvle yosu shara. So ask the Gemara, as we pointed out when we learned this earlier, Amud Aleph, ask about Yosu Asur coming by Lay. Here he said a chumrah, that they're going to be tamei. Void, asked the Gemara, this is not a gzera, this is a chiv, that's a din daraisa. The ksiv, the pasuk says, the cholash yiga play sod b'chalal cherev b'meis, or b'etzim adam b'kever, yitma shev shamim. So the Torah says, it's called, the Torah clearly says that he's tamei. So I saw the Rishash asks, yes, presumably he's saying a chumrah. But why? Because he said this one chumrah is, would he be called Yosef Asra? He said one chumrah. So Rishash says that what we would have to learn is this halacha, he was said first. This halacha l'chumrah was the first halacha that he said, which gave him a label of being a machmer. And then he said kulis. But that original label ought to stick. Answers the Gemara, deraisa, midaraisa, the yak of tamei. So only somebody touches the mace himself becomes tamei. However, the yakrav, if somebody touches something that touched the mace, will be tar. For us, the inavigazer, the chum went to medic zera. Afilu, the yakrav, then not only if you touch the mace, but even if you touch something which touched the mace, you should be tamei. For us, you, and by Joyce B'Yezer said, vikud maraisa, that only if you touch the mace are you tamei, not if you touch somebody who touched the mace. But ask the Gemara, that isn't true. The Yaakov Nami Deraisahu. Somebody who touched somebody who came in contact with the mace, that person that came in contact with the mace is Tamei, is actually a Din Deraisa. The Ksib, because the Pasuk says, the Kol HaShiyiga by a Tamei Yitma. Anybody who comes in contact with the mace becomes Tamei. Says the Gemara, answers the Gemara. Amru Rabbanon Kamei de Rav Mishmei de Mazrut B'Rei de Rav Nachman. Dama Mishmei de Rav Nachman. The Raisa, if you look at Din Deraisa, the Yaakov Chiburim Tamashiva. When is somebody who touches somebody who came in contact with the mace, Tamei for 7 days? If the person who's touching the mace is actually currently touching the mace, and while he's currently touching the mace, I touch him, so then I'm Tamei for 7 days. But if we have an individual that touched the mace, and yes, he became Tamei, but I touch him not while he is touching a mace. Shloi b'chaburim is only tumatumas erev. Vos inu, and the rabbanon came, and they made gzera fil shloi b'chaburim, even if you touch that individual who touched the mace, even though he's not currently touching the mace, you will be tamei sheva days. Vos e, and Yosi ben Yezer came back and said, I'm going to rely on the din daraisa, and what he meant to say is that you'll only be tamei Thomas Erev, and not be Tamei for more. The Raisa Mahi, so ask the Gemara, what is the Tum Din the Raisa, the Ksiv? The Pasuk says, HaNegei B'meis L'chol Nefesh Odom Yit Meshim Yomim. And the Pasuk says, the Ksiv V'chol Shiyigabai Tamei Yitma, the Ksiv HaNefesh HaNegas Titma Ad Erev. HaKetzad, how do we understand that Pasuk? The Pasuk, at the beginning, seems to contradict what it says at the end. The pasuk at the beginning says, "V'chol asher yigeba yotamei yitma." That means, as soon as you touch an individual who became tamei from a mace, you shall be tamei for 7 days. V'negei b'mace, that's what the pasuk says. V'negei b'mace, v'chol nefesh adam v'tamei shivus yomim. But then the pasuk says, on the other hand, "V'nefesh anegas titma arav." You only tamei till the night. How do we reconcile these psukim? Kam b'chiburim. The nafkamina is that if you're touching the person who touched the mace, while that person is touching the mace, you'll be tamei for 7 days. Kan shaloi b'chiburim. But if you won't, it won't be at the time that that person is touching the mace, it'll only be at a erev. Amalei Rava. So the Rava said to Rabbanan, who tried to explain what Yosef ben Yezer said, according to what Rav Nachman just taught us, lava minelchu, have I not taught you the titli b'kisurik of Rav Nachman? don't hang on Rav Nachman empty. Don't hang on Rav Nachman empty pictures. Hachem Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said something else altogether. What Rav Nachman told us is that Suffolk, what he meant to teach us was the halacha of Suffolk Tumah B'Rishus Rabbim Hitalehem. That when you have a Suffolk Tumah, we don't know if somebody is touched Tumah, became Tumah, that halacha is that B'Rishus Rabbim were lenient and B'Rishus Yochid were Tumah. The Rishonim say, why were they so dissatisfied to say this pshat in Rav Nachman? So there are different pshatim in why. One pshat is that the wording of Rav Yosi ben Yezer doesn't seem to lend itself. Another pshat that the Rambam says that this whole halacha of Tumei Chaburim, that we make that differentiation, is only a din derabbanan, not a din deraisa. Ask the Gemara, that how can we say that that's what Yosi ben Yezer meant to teach us? Ask the Gemara, Vahelchasa Mesoita Gamrina Law. This is halacha that we learn from Saita. Ma Saita Rishus Yochid, Aftum Rishus Yochid. The halacha of a Saita is a woman whose husband accused her after he warned her not to be alone with a certain man, that she was alone with that man. That woman, the Torah declares, becomes a Saita. And the halacha with a Saita is, she's also labal ulabayil. She can't have a relationship with her husband or the other man until she goes through the entire procedure of drinking the mayim hamamarim. But where and how is a woman identified as a Saita if we don't know she's Tamei? Only if she was alone with the man, b'rishus hayachid. But were she alone with the man in Rishus HaRabim, there we say that she's not a Saita. So ask the Gemara, this halacha is a halacha that we know from Saita. Says the Gemara, Hamar of Yochanan, halacha v'eimayim came, that indeed, if we learn the halacha of Saita, based on the halacha of Saita, the halacha ought to be that she's tahar when it's Rishus HaRabim, we don't paskin that way, we don't publicize that psak. V'asa'iyu, and now Yosi ben Yezer came along, Vayrele Uriye publicized that that's the halacha. Tanya Nami Hochi, and indeed, that's what the Brisa teaches us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Koretz Noetzlehem, he made a fence. What was the point of making a fence? Omar, because he said, Ad Karen Shus Rabim, Ad Karen Shus Yochid. He wanted to identify what is the Rishus Rabim, where we have a Suffolk Tumah and we're lenient, and what is the Rishus Yochid, where people don't walk, and we say it's tar. He made the fence to show the demarcation. Says the Gemara Kiosel, Kamed Rav Yonai, when this discussion came to Rav Yonai, where people had a question if they were Tamei, Amalu, Hamai B'Shkiyosudim Nahar Zila Tfula. He said, what he would tell them was that there's water in the river, and go to the mikveh. And the way I sort of was showing him say was what he was trying to tell them is that even though halachically, if you have a situation of Suffolk Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim, the halacha is Suffolk Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim is Tahor, still he wanted to, they should go to the mikveh and be sure that they're Tahor. But I also saw that the Mishnah Melech explains this Gemara. On one hand, when somebody had a Suffolk Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim, they would paskin according to what the halacha teaches us. And the halacha teaches us that in such a situation, the person is tahar. But on the other hand, they want him to go to the mikveh, but Rabbi Yosi ben Eliezer wanted everybody to know that it's tahar, because if we would have a question like this on truma, and the halacha is that truma that's tameh must be burnt. Truma that's tahar, not only should not be, is not allowed to be burnt, but in Osatil Chemeshmeres Trumasi, we should treat the truma properly. So he was telling them, if you're going to have truma with a Suffolk Tumah, don't just go be machmer and burn it, because according to the halacha, it's really tahar, and it's just a chumrah. And we have to know what's a chumrah and what's halacha.